Get ready, football fans. Here he comes.
By Seether, he's going to be sacked. Now barreling in was Ted Johnson.
This is the Sunday Football Show with Ted Johnson. Brought to you by Cross Insurance and Charles D. Sheehy Pipes, Valves, and Fittings. On Boston's home for football. Football. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
When you have interest across the league, and especially from a coach like Bill Belichick, who you know has a lot of respect for you, and that's mutual, A, what did that mean? And you think you were ever close to maybe coming to New England?
Very, 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 very. You know, I think I don't think I joked with him on the phone, but I was like, you know, if this was 3 years ago, it would have been ideal, you know, because Tom is one of the – you know, he's one of my favorite. I know I posted a video a long time of just the passion and the fire that Tom has. And then there's a bunch of clips cutting to me doing, you know, similar things. And, you know, mine gets misconstrued for something else. And his is something else. And it's just like, bro, I actually love football that much that I'll punch a water cooler. Like, I care that much for this game. I've tried to explain this to people. I hate losing. I care this much for that game. And for a guy... coach like Bill Belichick, who I've admired for years and I've seen and just always was like, man, one day I'm going to play for Bill Belichick. For him to call me, to be able to just sit down on the phone with him and talk football, I mean, it's like, what more could you ask for? So I was very close. That was one of the teams that was in there, but I felt like this was home.
Welcome in. Happy Sunday morning to everybody. It's the Sunday Football Show. I'm your host, Ted Johnson, and I am excited to say that I'm joined today by with a good friend of mine, colleague Phil Perry from NBC Sports. Phil, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me in today, Ted.
Bud, love having you in. Love having you in because clearly there's a lot to talk about. And that was Odell Beckham Jr. That was from a couple years ago before the Rams played in the Super Bowl. I believe that was Andrew Callahan that asked Odell Beckham about his interest in maybe coming to play for the Patriots. And he said, oh, it was really high. I was almost close to going there. If it was just 3 years ago when Tom Brady was there, I might have been there. But that's where we're going to start today, folks. There's a lot to get to in today's show. Of course, there's tons of combine stuff, the draft. There's a lot of free agent talk. I'm going to lean on you hard, Phil. Phil is loves to cover the draft, and you know what? I get it. It's fun if you're a college football fan. There's just watching all these players, trying to figure out where they're going to go. I will be honest. It is not a strength of mine, Phil. Watching college football players and trying to figure out, you know, how good they're going to be or where they should go in the draft has never been a strong suit of mine. So it is for you, and we'll get into that. But there's a lot of things we want to get into today. Lamar Jackson stuff. We're going to get into a little bit of the Tom Brady stuff. But really, to start the show, Phil, I want to get into kind of the wide receiver talk. There's a lot of talk about the Pats wide receivers, needing wide receivers. And besides Odell Beckham Jr. being perhaps rumored to come here, Another guy that I used to cover when down in Houston is DeAndre Hopkins is also another guy, those two guys. But let's start here on the Sunday Football Show with Phil Perry with wide receiver talk, and specifically Odell Beckham. The Patriots were at a workout this past Friday. So 2 days ago, Odell Beckham had a workout in Arizona where he invited teams, and one of the teams that went to watch his workout were the New England Patriots. I don't know. I haven't read anything about that workout, but regardless, the point is the Patriots were there. They've always had interest in him, it feels like, at least according to Odell Beckham in that cut we heard coming back. Just your overall thoughts on him coming here. Do you think he's a guy that would be a good fit? Is it something that the Patriots is even a viable option that they would sign him? I don't know what he's going to command on the open market, but Do you think he is a good fit, Phil, to come play here for the Patriots?
Well, first of all, to me, the Patriots need somebody who is a game-breaking type of talent. And that's what Odell Beckham was.
Correct.
Once upon a time. Emphasis on was. I have no idea if he's going to ever be able to get back to that guy that we saw with the Giants, or even Ted, the guy that he was with the Rams at the end of that season going into that Super Bowl where he was really effective. I don't think he was still the same explosive threat to score every time he touches the ball kind of player, but still really effective for that Rams team, and I think really made a positive impact on that group. Cooper Kupp was the number one. He was the go-to guy. He was the straw that stirred the drink. But Beckham was a really important piece to that team getting to where they got. It would be really hard for me to believe that he can get back to that, given where he is right now, at this stage of his career, off of two different ACL injuries,
yeah,
both knees. And he might want, this is the other big piece to this, Ted, what does he want? Does he want $20 million? Because that's what Mike Florio reported earlier this week, that during the season last season, so during the 2022 season, he's without a team, he's without a job, but there's buzz that he wants $20 million a year when he gets back. And he might still want that number, $20 million a year. I know it's not what it used to be, the world in terms of the receiver market. And I think there are 14 guys now in the NFL that have contracts at that receiver position that average $20 million or more, which is kind of mind-blowing to me.
It is.
But he's not, is he a top 14 receiver in the NFL? I don't think he's that guy. So there's no shot the Patriots are giving him a chance if that's what he's looking for. If it's something much less, and it's like, okay, in 2024, if you show that you're good in 2023, then maybe you're the $20 million a year guy. That I could see, but if he's looking for that amount of money, I just can't see him being a match here.
No way, no way, no how. Now, look, you said it, Phil. Like Odell Beckham, when he started, when he was with the Giants, and even when he was with the Browns, to some degree, was a guy. And you talk about a game breaker. And so when Phil says game breaker, I visualize that as a guy that can take a slant route to the house. That's,
yes,
when I think of game breakers, I always say, if you can take a slant to the house, you're a game breaker. Odell Beckham's a game breaker. All right. And he was, at least. And you hit it perfectly. I mean, the last three seasons, Odell Beckham in 2020, 2021, 2000, and then also, well, so he played, excuse me. So it was 2020, 2021. He played for both the Cleveland Browns and the LA Rams. He played six games for the Browns in 2021, eight games for the Rams in then later that year. So he was played a full season just 2 years ago, and then we know what happened in the Super Bowl where he tore his ACL. With the knee injuries, you know what? I don't think he's taking slants to the house anymore. But is he a guy that, you know, you put incentives? Is he willing to, you know, play for incentives? That's how it will be here with New England. You know, absolutely. He's going into his 10th year. I think he's been humbled. I think he's a little bit, I don't know, he's not maybe wound up like he was. I mean, you just remember when with the Giants, you know, he would slam his helmet. He was kind of a prima donna, high maintenance kind of guy. I don't know if that is still there, but that's an interesting guy if you can get him at the right price. There's another guy, Phil, that a lot of people are talking about, and I don't know if you have this Tom, but you, okay, excellent. But DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is a guy that I covered when down in Houston. So Odell Beckham, DeAndre Hopkins are two guys that are being kind of linked to the New England Patriots as far as interest goes. Now, D-Hop's still under contract for two more years with the Arizona Cardinals, so it'd have to be in a trade.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
But the feeling is that the Arizona wants to get rid of him and that the Patriots would be interested in him. The maybe fly in the ointment for some people is the fact that Billy O'Brien was just hired as the offensive coordinator not that long ago. And Billy O'Brien, when he was the head coach in Houston, reportedly him and DeAndre Hopkins did not have maybe the best relationship, that it did not end well. He was traded to the Cardinals from Houston, and that relationship has been strained. And that might be a sticking point in coming to New England. And this is, I thought, kind of interesting. Michael Irvin, always very candid, had some interesting things regarding the DeAndre Hopkins relationship with Billy O'Brien.
I said, tell me what happened in Houston. And he went into it. He told me, he said, Michael, it was a bit of a power struggle there because Bill O'Brien thought, Coach O'Brien thought he had too much influence over the locker room. He called DeAndre Hopkins in a meeting to talk about this and to kind of, I guess, hash it out. In that meeting, he started the meeting with telling DeAndre Hopkins this that blew my mind when DeAndre told me this. He said, he told DeAndre Hopkins, he said, hey, the last time I had to have a meeting like this, it was with Aaron Hernandez. I was like, what? He put in Aaron Hernandez in this meeting? He said, yes, he did. He said, Michael, that blew my mind that he would even bring that up. I've never been in any trouble. I don't know why would he equate me with Aaron Hernandez. And from there, the meeting just deteriorated. You know, he got into talking about DeAndre Hopkins because DeAndre Hopkins has a few kids and from different women. And he said, you know, he told DeAndre he doesn't like that he has his baby mamas around sometimes. And from that, I think the relationship just went bad.
Now, here's the thing, Phil. That's pretty detailed stuff. You know, DeAndre Hopkins was I think he was on the Pat McAfee show earlier this week, and he said, oh, we're good, me and Billy O'Brien. There's nothing really to take issue with. I find that hard to believe. I just think he wouldn't be that detailed. Michael Irvin wouldn't, as far as kind of the what went on. And I've heard the same thing, that conversation took place. But the good thing is that Bill O'Brien's not the head coach here in New England. He's the offensive coordinator. Phil, in your opinion, do you think DeAndre Hopkins would be a good fit for this team?
I think he'd be an
stylistically
upgrade.
Stylistically completely different than Odell Beckham.
Oh, yeah.
Stylistically.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yep. This is a more of a possession guy, but he's an X receiver, not built on speed or explosiveness. He probably never, Ted, at any point in his career, was a take a slant to the house kind of guy.
Nope.
Just because of his speed, right?
Correct.
But great hands, contested catchability, footwork, like tough,
competitive.
Brings a lot to the table.
Very physical off the line of scrimmage.
To me, he's an upgrade. And for an offense that needs desperately an upgrade at that position, in order to truly contend and become an elite offense, in my opinion, and actually, you know, be a factor in the AFC especially, then I would call him a fit, sure. Now, in another era of Patriots football, would I call him a fit? Probably not. I mean, he's under contract for the next 2 years, at I believe, so it's $19 million or just over $19 million next year.
$19.4 next year.
And maybe a little bit less than that the following season.
$14.9 this following season.
So over 2 years... If you want to do that,
less than 20.
Neither year is guaranteed at this point. Yep. So if you want to say, hey, he's into his 30s, we'll trade a second round pick. That's what I've been told, you know, just talking to some people in the last week or so. You know, second round pick, maybe a little bit more, but essentially second round pick. Would the Patriots be willing to do that? I think they should really seriously consider it. Would it be my number one choice? No. But again, you need all the help you can get at that position, in my opinion. I would rather get a younger guy. I actually, this was something that sort of sprung from my conversation with Calvin Johnson here the other day. That you guys spoke to him on the radio.
Awesome dude, right?
Great guy.
Great guy.
I asked him, hey, you know, what do the Patriots need? You know, DeAndre Hopkins, Brandon Cooks, these are sort of the veteran names that have been thrown around as trade possibilities. You know, they could give the Patriots a little bit more talent maybe on the outside. And he sort of shrugged his shoulders and gave me a look and said, I don't know if that's what you're looking for. I mean, he respects those guys, no question. So I would think that you would want, they're not completely rebuilding the Patriots, but I would think you would want somebody that's younger, that's going into his prime, that can grow and develop with your team. And the name that we've thrown around a lot is T. Higgins, but there's another name, same draft class, actually first round pick. So he'd be a little bit closer to the Brandon Cooks deal that the Patriots made for Cooks back in 2017, in that he was going into last year of his rookie contract, first round pick. They could pick up the fifth year option, end up having him for 2 years. Brandon Ayuk from San Francisco. That to me is a guy who I think has game-breaking ability, Ted. He is a true physical talent, in my opinion. Going into the last year of his rookie contract, the Niners have very little cap space. They have guys they still need to pay on that roster. They have no draft picks this year until the third round. I know they're in it to win it kind of right now, and so maybe they're reluctant to get rid of him, but they've got Christian McCaffrey. They have Deebo Samuel. He's their fourth option. George Kittle's in that mix. if you could make an offer to the Niners for somebody like Ayuk and get that guy going into his prime, have him grow with your young quarterback, do a little bit more for you athletically, that's the kind of guy that I really would be looking for.
Man, Phil, I can't believe you just said what you just said, which is...
Is that good or bad?
It's good, because I've been saying the same thing, probably not as loud, but you hit on something that I want to continue. We got to step aside. I want to continue this discussion with, you know, what kind of receivers, you know, should the Patriots get? I will say this about DeAndre Hopkins. I think he's a better fit than Odell Beckham, but I tend to agree with you that the Patriots need to get younger maybe at that position. And so we'll continue this discussion with Phil. I also want to talk about Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers is a unrestricted free agent, and I want to get Phil's thoughts on the possibility of losing Jacoby Myers. It's the Sunday Football Show, 617-779-0985. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Ted Johnson is talking football with the insiders and you. It's the Sunday Football Show on your home for the Patriots, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stevenson is now a fullback in front of Harris, and they're going to shift to the shotgun. Stevenson lines up right slot, shotgun snap to Jones, who lobs it left for Myers, who leaps and makes the catch. Brings it down for a touchdown, Patriots. Mismatch. The Patriots take advantage, though Myers is shaken up on the play as they add to their lead.
Yeah, he went down hard after the catch. But a great catch, good concentration here. They go to the gun. Comes down hard right now. Looks like he gets a wind knocked out of him. So hopefully he's going to be okay. That could be the backbreaker right there for the Dolphins. That's just bad defense.
That was a cut on Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers, who is a unrestricted free agent. Phil, welcome into the Sunday Football Show. Ted Johnson, Phil Perry. I love having Phil in. Phil is just he's damn good at his job. First off, but he works hard and knows a lot about football. And I have the good fortune of working with him on the TV side, and so it's a lot of fun to have Phil in here. But I'm a big fan. Let's just talk Jacoby Myers here, because Jacoby is an interesting guy. Undrafted.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
2019, same draft class as N'Keal Harry, and all he's done, Phil, since he's gotten here is make plays and be productive. He has led the team the last 3 years in receptions. A lot of people think that he's not a slot receiver, the traditional slot receiver, that he's just not good at getting open. I will push back on that a little bit, and I would say I've always thought he's one of the best at getting separation, and I think the next gen stats would back that up. If I remember correctly, I think that he is top 10 in separation in the NFL. And so that's kind of what you need, a characteristic you need to play slot receiver. But the feeling is that Jacoby Myers will get paid more going to another team than maybe what the Patriots are offering him here. Phil, just your thoughts on Jacoby Myers, and do you think he should be a high priority to be re-signed here?
Well, like you, Ted, I love Jacoby Myers. And how many times on our show, right, where we're breaking it down from the game before or the day before, and we pull up a Jacoby Myers route, and he puts his foot in the ground. There's a subtle head fake. There's something going on in the middle of the field there where not everybody can operate. And he's making himself available to a quarterback whose game is accuracy and decision-making. That's really valuable. for your team and for your offense. And I think the Patriots feel that way. And I think the feeling around the league is that they probably value him, or teams like the Patriots, meaning Nick Caceres, Houston Texans, you know, Monty Austin Fort's Arizona Cardinals. Who knows, maybe, you know, the Raiders. I don't know how much money they're going to be spending this offseason, but right, Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels with the Raiders. Those guys, those offenses are really going to value that. Not only does he get open, but he also blocks. Ted, Mike Vrabel, I remember him coming on a conference call with us last time they played the Titans and said, that guy might be their best run blocker at the receiver position. You know, he's talking across positions. He's saying, that's a receiver. And he's sticking his nose in there, blocking safeties, digging those guys out to help what they do in the run game. So I think he's really valuable. Just talking to teams around the league, they just don't view him, Ted, as a number one. And so when you're talking about how much money is the guy going to get, you know, that's sort of where you start. Is he a one or is he a two? Nobody's going to tell you he's a one. Nobody, even those teams I just mentioned.
Yep.
And so,
and I would say I don't think he's a one either.
Right. Right.
But I think he's a damn good two.
Right. And I think that's where teams sit. And that's why, you know, the Friday of the combine, I wrote up sort of a combine buzz piece just talking to teams that were down there, evaluators across the league. And the topic of Myers came up continuously, and it's, okay, where's the market? Where's the market? Where's the market? And you'd have some teams that would say, given what he is, you know, the lack of speed, the lack of ceiling for some teams, he's going to top out at, you know, 15 a year. You know, other teams would tell you mid-teens. So, okay, does that mean 16, 17? Yeah, maybe I could see him getting up there depending on who's interested and what kind of bidding war gets involved. But, you know, the comp that I think a lot of us have made, because statistically they're not all that dissimilar, are Christian Kirk and Jakobi Meyers. And Christian Kirk got a deal worth $18 million a year from the Jaguars last offseason, which blew everybody away. Nobody expected that. Nobody that I've talked to thinks that he's getting into that territory. You know, Kirk, at least with his physical skill set, I think people could say, well, he's kind of a back end number one. You know, he's sort of on the fringe there. He's got the speed to be able to do that maybe in the right situation. So I don't see Myers, for instance, getting to that 18 a year number. I think he's going to be closer to 14, 15, which is where you have guys like, you know, Hunter Renfro, Cortland Sutton, you know, Mike Evans is on a deal that he got a couple years ago that's paying him 16 and a half. Can you pay him more than Mike Evans got?
Probably not. Mike Evans, first round draft. And I think the drafts, where he was drafted, Phil, I think it particularly, you know, comes to New England, hurts Jakobi. Even though they've seen him up close and they know how productive he is, I just think being undrafted, I don't think the Patriots historically have ever really even come close to paying guys, at least in their first contract, that were undrafted, like, you know, market value or even close to market value type contracts. I think the Patriots look at, hey, he was undrafted, we made him what he is. It's, you know, I could see the Patriots thinking that. I don't know if other teams around the league hold that against him. But you mentioned the comp is Christian Kirk. I don't know where he was drafted. I can't remember. But I mean, I think he was a higher draft pick than Jakobi. I think that's going to hurt Jakobi. I would just say this about Jakobi. He's a guy that I just think the Patriots, you need to, and they never have really worried about this. The what other players on the team think when they don't sign. I don't think the Patriots loses sleep at night worrying about what the guys think if they, you know, don't pay a guy like Jakobi Meyers. He was a loyal soldier. He worked his ass off. He far exceeded expectations, and now he wants to get paid based on his production. And the Patriots don't want to pay him. I don't know if Bill really worries about that, but he should, I think.
I was going to ask you that. Should he?
He should.
As a player, right.
I think now more than ever. Like, I just feel like that piece of it, just the culture, the locker room, sending positive messages. I just think Bill should sign a guy like Jakobi, because it would – I think send a positive message throughout the locker room. That's my take. All right, let's get a couple calls in, Philip. What do you say? Daniel,
let's do it.
Daniel from Burlington. He wants to talk about the wide receiver. Go ahead, Daniel. And I locked up, Tom. Can you help me out, bud? There you go. Hey, Daniel, great, you're on, bud. Go ahead.
Great show, boys.
Thank you.
So they have no shot, I think, at Quentin Johnson and Jordan Addison. So a Patriot type S player to watch out for is Tank Dell from Houston. He's a like a Debo Samuel-esque type player. And Teddy, you know Houston really well. So Tank Dell, watch out for this kid. He's a good player.
Philip, thank you. Thanks, Dan. You got a thought on that?
So he's really exciting. He had a really good Senior Bowl. Just was lighting people up. He didn't run as fast in the 40 as people thought because people assume that he is a burner. He's about where he's not like Debo Samuel. He's about 170-ish pounds.
Okay.
So this is a really light guy, about 5'10". You could use him in a variety of ways. You know, like Debo, you could probably hand it off
Debo's
to him on a jet sweep,
I mean,
but
he's
Debo's
like, he's
a, oh man, and he, oh yeah, yeah, he can take some punt. I mean, they use him as a running back.
Right,
you'd never do that.
Correct.
With Tank Dell.
With 170.
The knock on Dell in the last week or so is that he did not run all that fast in the 40 at the combine, 4.49. You know, you're not thinking that's, wow, that's a speed guy. You know, when you see that number, it's fine. It's fine. It's just not elite. But his 10-yard split, 10, was really good. It was like, I think it was sub 1.5. So really fast off the line, pretty nice looking release package based on what he showed at the Senior Bowl. So I could see him being a fit. He's just, you know, when you have a guy that is that light, Ted, is that a game-changing piece for you? You know, even if he's, man, DeSean Jackson, right, is like the high-end comp.
Correct.
For a guy who's really thin but would be a speed
DeVonta
option.
DeVonta Smith,
yeah. And I feel like he might be a little bit more of like a complete player, route runner.
Yep.
But it's a good name to know, and it's a great name, Tank Dell.
It's a hell of
Nathaniel Dell, Tank Dell. I mean, I love that, out of Houston.
I do too. All right, Jonathan is in Randolph. How you doing this morning, Jonathan? Thomas, help me out there, bud. There you go. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Hey, Phil. Call me, you know, a spoiled 32-year-old because my perspective is probably warped from all the, you know, the Bledsoes into Brady years, but it really feels like the Patriots right now, from ownership to the coaches, are acting like things they can conduct business mostly as usual, talking about, you know, kind of reclamation project wide receivers like Odell Beckham or, you know, DeAndre Hopkins might be a bit more than that. But my point is, it seems like a lot of kind of shuffling around the deck chairs on the margins to try and see if they can get to third place in the division. And I don't know what that's trying to accomplish, really, to really bring this team to. I'm sure what I know Kraft wants to win very much and wants to be relevant, but I don't know if the moves that they're doing are big enough or impactful enough, even philosophically, to make that, to try and work toward getting competitive again on a high level. And it's just kind of discouraging.
All right, Jonathan, we'll stop you right there. But Phil, you know, it is a little bit frustrating. I'm not going to lie. The wide receiver position, when it looks like clearly to all of us, wide receivers, how important they are in today's NFL, and the Patriots, kind of how they approach that position, I think is kind of frustrating. And it's hard because I think they don't see it the way we all want them to see it. And that's the frustrating thing. Do you think the Patriots, Phil, like their current roster of wide receivers? Do you think they need an upgrade at that position?
Yes, I do. So that's what I would tell Jonathan. Let's see, right? If we get through free agency and we get through that initial wave of the first week of the NFL new year and there's no trades made, there's no, you know, there really isn't a big name free agent that's available. So I'm not sure you'd be able to do it there. And then you get through the draft and there's no first round pick, spent at the position in a year where it doesn't look incredibly deep at that receiver position, then we should get on him. We really should. Because if you're looking at Bill O'Brien's arrival, Ted, and everybody's saying, well, we're going to get a better Mac Jones based on Bill O'Brien's just presence, right? Are they thinking the same thing is going to happen for the receivers? Maybe they would be right in thinking that to a degree,
fair
but
point.
I still look at those pieces that they have under contract right now, Parker, Thornton, Bourne. I still don't think that's enough to be an elite offense in today's game, and that's what you have to be if you want to truly contend.
What are your thoughts on Parker? I'll go first and just say he underwhelmed me. I was expecting a little bit more, and particularly kind of how the Patriots were kind of billing him. I thought coming in, your thoughts on him? I mean, I mean, he's not a number one, clearly. I don't think. I mean, but I think they think of him as a number one.
So, I...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Liked him in those contested catch situations. He had a handful of really impressive go up and get it, contested catch balls that I thought, wow, okay, that's something they didn't really have the year before. But he's not a number one, Ted. A number one to me forces the defense to change what it wants to do.
Correct.
You force them to stretch vertically. You force a safety over the top. Again, great in those contested catch situations, but is he manipulating the defense in that way? To me, he's really not. I think with even Hopkins, even though he's not a speed guy, I think his name is what it is, and he's so effective that I think he would have a little bit more of an impact on an opposing defense that way. Certainly somebody like Ayuk or T. Higgins would do that too. Yep. So, you know, I think they like him, but I think they know they need a little more there.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good because they do need a little bit more. I would agree with Phil on that. All right, we're going to continue this wide receiver discussion for the rest of the show, but I want to get into, you know, I think, you know, so what some would say, just one of the classic Patriots, Devin McCourty. He announced his retirement this past week. And so I want to talk to Phil not only about just Devin McCourty retiring, but really just that position and the importance of the position that he plays and he is vacating. So we'll get to all that and your call, 617-779-0985. It's the Sunday Football Show with Phil Perry on 98.5.
From hard hits.
Barreling in was Ted Johnson.
To hot takes.
Where you're in the huddle and you're just like, guys, we're going to have a great day.
Ted Johnson is here to talk football with you.
I wanted to play in the game.
It's the Sunday Football Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I'm officially retiring from the NFL. It has been a great ride. I got the opportunity to talk to Mr. Kraft, to talk to Bill, a lot of the guys on the defensive staff. Unbelievable ride, man. And, you know, I think it's always tough to kind of come to the end. As you know, this whole offseason has been so much back and forth for me mentally, probably not even sharing as much of the thoughts that I was just going between from one day to the next day. But ultimately, I think this is the best decision for me, my family, for my career. Is to be able to now look back at my 13 years and just enjoy it, man. I got to say that to Bill. Now I get the chance to reminisce and look back and not have to focus on how can I be better next year. I get to just say I'll never be better again next year and just enjoy it, man. So I'm excited. I'm excited about what's to come. I never thought I'd be able to retire from the NFL. It's all I've ever done, really, is play football and be excited about having another job.
That is, of course, Devin McCourty, who announcing his retirement after 13 years of service for the New England Patriots. You know, some would say, you know, one of the ultimate Patriots. You know, kind of one of those guys that we know about over the last 23 years. You know, what a kind of prototypical Patriot is, and I think Devin McCourty certainly fits that. It's Sunday Football Show with Phil Perry, Ted Johnson. 617-779-0985. Your thoughts on Devin McCourty. A lot of people were kind of talking about his signature moment. Like, the signature moment thing is a little bit overblown. I just want to say this. Like, just because you might not remember, a specific play that Devin McCourty made, doesn't mean he wasn't a great player. He was one of the most consistent players in the last 13 years for the Patriots. And he was just, you never saw him making mistakes, right? I mean, that's one of the things that I think about Devin McCourty. I mean, he was a ball hawker. He made a lot of plays on the ball, a solid tackler, but just keeping those guys kind of organized back there is a very difficult job. Your thoughts, Phil, on the retirement of Devin, and the impact it might have on this year's Patriots team.
Yeah, I think you hit on it right there, Ted. I'll always remember the way Luke Kuechly described Devin McCourty. This was for an NFL Films Top 100 Player List episode. Remember this
middle
list?
Linebacker for Carolina.
So Luke Kuechly, who's sort of an encyclopedic kind of NFL brain.
Oh, I
right?
didn't realize that. Okay.
Really smart guy, great obviously player. On the field, but studies the rest of the league. And the way he described McCourty, and I thought this was interesting given Kuechly's ability to get guys lined up. That's what he highlighted as Devin's maybe best skill, is truly being the quarterback of your secondary and being able to put other guys in positions to make plays. And so to your point, okay, maybe there's not that signature, you know, there's not that that Steph Gilmore pass breakup in the AFC Championship game against the Jaguars where he's fully laid out to basically win the game that year. Like, maybe there's not that moment that you can think of, but there's probably a lot of moments where other guys made plays that they might not have had it not been for Devin McCourty saying, hey, alert the screen or alert the end around, or, you know, you got to be aware of this number two going vertical, you know, things of that nature, getting them out of bad calls and into good ones. That really was his value. And for Bill Belichick, you know, obviously he's the prototypical Patriot for a lot of the things that he did in the room, leadership wise, off the field, like no question. One of the best that I've ever seen in terms of his involvement in the community. But to be the quarterback of the defense, which is how I've heard Bill describe that free safety position before, he fit that role perfectly. And that's why I think it's going to make it really hard to fill in behind him on the field. Never mind the off the field stuff, but on the field, I think it's going to be hard to find a guy to do all that stuff.
And so the question becomes, and I will say this quickly about getting guys lined up, because that was my job, at least getting that front seven lined up, is that's a tough job. It's a tough job. It takes a lot of bandwidth mentally to kind of have that job, because Bill likes to change our calls week to week. Hey, but I know we've been doing it this way, but this week against this team in this formation, I want to do it this way. Mm. Okay. You know, and so you gotta be able to adapt week in, week out and be a signal caller and know all the new rules for that week. They were different from those plays from earlier in the season. And so it's a very difficult job to do that, job for New England. Your thoughts on, do they have an in-house candidate? Do they go out? Do they move Jalen Mills from corner to safety? Is there a replacement on the roster currently, Phil, that you think is a suitable replacement for Devin McCourty?
To me, the name that it wouldn't surprise me if they were thinking about moving back there that is in-house, though he's technically not under contract right now, is Jonathan Jones.
Interesting.
Jonathan Jones.
Maybe, but free safety, you don't have to be the biggest guy.
I think
guy.
They would consider it.
Okay.
Smart, good tackler, good speed. You know, he's a guy who's made a lot of plays on the football when he's had the opportunity. But I come back to smart. I mean, if you need to understand every position in the secondary so that you can get guys lined up properly, who better than Jonathan Jones, who we've seen play in the slot, play a lot in the slot. We've seen this past season play on the outside and have success at times. Who we've seen play the deep part of the field in Super Bowl 53 against the Rams. They had him playing deep safety. He really had never done it before. But they trusted him in that game plan, biggest game of the year, to play the deep portion of the field. And so, again, he's not under contract, and so maybe that makes it a little complicated. Okay, do we bring him back as a slot corner and pay him, you know, Mike Hilton money, is $6 million, $7 million a year, or do we pay him like a starting safety because we're telling him we're going to move him to safety to start the year? That I don't know, and maybe that makes it difficult given that you don't have him right now, but that would be the name I would consider. Mills, I get it because he's played some free safety for the Eagles in the past, but does he understand Bill Belichick's defense the way that you need to understand it? And is he on the field enough? And I know Jonathan Jones has dealt with a lot of injury too, but, you know, a lot of soft tissue stuff to end last year for Jalen Mills. And I get it.
They don't like
nagging.
They don't like that. Soft tissue.
They don't like that. Nope. And especially when you had the need that you had at corner.
Yep.
That hurt them not having Mills out there. You can't, if you don't feel good about his durability or his availability, I'm not sure you can move him to that Devin McCourty position where he's on the field for 95% of the snaps year in, year out.
fascinating. That's a big position to be filled. Now, I would say maybe not the free position, free safety position is maybe not been historically a big kind of name position here. It was always kind of, you know, Laurie Malloy, the strong safeties, and Rodney Harrison, the strong safety. But that safety position, I don't care if it's strong or free, like Devin McCourty, him leaving, there's a big leadership void and just a big football acumen void. And so the Patriots are going to have to fill that spot. And historically, they've had on these championship teams always stellar safety play. All right, we're going to step aside. I want to get into what people just can't stop talking about, and it's a story that just won't go away. All right, we got it. We got to talk a little bit more about Tom Brady, all right, and the rumors of him playing some more football. So I've been out for the last couple of weeks, and so I know maybe it's a story that's a little bit old, but I want to get into that with Phil Perry. When we come back, we'll get into all that. Don't go anywhere. It's the Sunday Football Show. Ted Johnson, Phil Perry. We'll be right back.
Football talk never stops in New England. Join the conversation. Ted Johnson on the Sunday Football Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Number one rumor I heard at the Combine, not in terms of a lot of yacht chatter, but this one just blew my mind. Tom Brady may not be done after all.
What?
It's a couple people are like, just hang on. Just you wait.
Wait for
and
what?
I'm like, he's Instagramming out videos of his cat.
Ski you know? Trips.
Yeah.
He was at UFC over the weekend.
I know. But it doesn't look like he's getting big and fat, does it? And that he just like let it play out. Let's see who wants what. And the one place that folks are saying keep an eye out for is Miami. And if the Dolphins cannot somehow, if they get somehow, some way, a doctor's report, a piece of information from a medical evaluation of Tua that he may not be ready to go, and suddenly there's Tom Brady sitting in Florida where his family is located and where he can easily locate himself. Keep an eye on that, I was told by a couple of birdies.
Good.
At the Combine.
Way to go, Rich. Rich Eisen, NFL Network, just keeping this story perpetually going forever. Tom Brady story, that is. Welcome in, Sunday Football Show with Phil Perry. The Tom Brady rumors won't die. They're going to keep out there. And then Tom does nothing to really, I think, pour cold water on him. So that's that. But it doesn't feel like there's a lot of teams that he could maybe go play for other than maybe Miami or San Francisco. My feeling is, Phil, if it happens, it has to be quick. I can't see him wait. He's not going to be like a July, August signing, I don't think, in my opinion. I could be wrong. But your thoughts on where maybe if Tom – does he play? Is this all much ado about nothing? And if you think he does play, where would he go?
I think he's done. I really do. I truly think he's done. Now, that's not all that fun to talk about, though, Ted. And so if he were to come back, then, yeah, I love entertaining it, too, because he doesn't suck. You know, if we want to go back to, hey, I'll retire when I suck. He didn't suck last year. He might not have been the MVP that I thought he should have been two seasons ago. I thought he should have won that thing over Aaron Rodgers two seasons ago. But he's still a top 10 guy, in my opinion. And so if he comes back, that Miami makes a ton of sense given the area, given the talent that they have there, ready to go right now. But does Miami giving Tua or picking up that fifth-year option, giving him that fully guaranteed $20 million plus for 2024, Ted, does that give you any pause or does that make you any cooler on the idea of Brady going to Miami?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know, like, I look at the fit there. I don't think it's a great fit in the sense that I look at, okay, who's the offensive coordinator? Mm. It's the head coach, I think, Mike McDaniel,
right,
who comes from, you know, San Francisco, who is a big yards after catch guy. And I think Tom will be okay with the yards after catch. I don't think he's like the Bruce Arians chucking it downfield, although he loves to chuck it downfield, it feels like, later in his career. I just think, you know, a guy like a Mike McDaniels doesn't want to bring in a Tom Brady because it's, we saw what happened when he went to Tampa Bay. I think there was a lot of, like, is it going to be Bruce Arians' offense? Is it going to be Tom's offense? Well, we know which offense won out. At the end of the day, it was Tom's. I just don't see Mike McDaniel willing to give his offense to Tom like that. So, I don't know. I think it would be fascinating. I would love it. I think he's done too. I think he's having a hard time already in in retirement. I don't see him coming back either, but it would be fascinating if he went to the Miami Dolphins. Fascinating.
Oh, so much fun.
Oh, I mean, so much fun.
Twice a year. Aaron Rodgers maybe twice a year.
Oh,
Josh Allen twice a year.
Forget about it. It would be
yikes.
It would be incredible. So, and Phil just hit it. We're going to stay on clock. I don't want to get to this because I think this is a fascinating story, and that is Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets. So we want to talk about that. We want to give ourselves some time. And if you want to weigh in on it, I mean, Aaron Rodgers to New York, any of the wide receiver talk that we've been talking about, Devin McCourty is all on the table, 617-779-0985. So we'll get into Aaron Rodgers stuff when we come back. But first, don't go anywhere. Sit tight. I got the headlines, and we'll be back in 90
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.